By damn, George, you've talked me into it. I'll tell the board I'm backing you, and to hell with them.
Well, that's very kind of you, sir, of course, said Pony, bewildered. But it's only peppering over the cracks, really. If we don't have a major rebuild, we're only laying up even more trouble for the future.
In a year or so, George, you can lay any plans you like in front of us, said Gilt jovially. Your skill and ingenuity will be the saving of the company. Now, I know you're a busy man and I mustn't keep you. Go and perform miracles of economy, Mr. Pony.
Mr. Pony staggered out, proud and bemused and full of dread.
Silly old fool, said Gilt,
and reached down and opened the bottom drawer of his desk. He pulled out a bear trap, which he set with some effort, and then stood in the middle of the floor with his back to it.
Igor,
he called. Yes, sir, said Igor. There was a snap. I think this is yours, sir, Igor added, handing Gilt the sprung trap. Gilt looked down. The man's legs appeared unscathed.
How did you?
He began.
Oh, we Igors are no strangers to masters of an inquiring mind, sir, said Igor gloomily. One of my gentlemen used to stand with his back to a pit lined with spikes, sir. Oh, how we chuckled, sir.
And what happened? One day he forgot and stepped into it. Talk about laugh, sir.
Gilt laughed too and went back to his desk. He liked that kind of joke.
Igor, would you say that I'm insane? He said.
Igors are not supposed to lie to an employer. It's part of the code of the Igors. Igor took refuge in strict linguistic honesty.
I wouldn't find myself able to say that, sir, he said.
I must be, Igor. Either that or everyone else's, said Gilt. I mean, I show them what I do. I show them how the cards are marked. I tell them what I am, and they nudge one another and grin, and each one of them thinks himself no end of a fine fellow to be doing business with me. They throw good money after bad. They believe themselves to be sharp operators, and yet they offer themselves like little lambs. How I love to see their expressions when they think they're being astute.
Indeed, sir, said Igor.
He was wondering if that job at the new hospital was still open. His cousin Igor was already working there and had told him it was wonderful. Sometimes you had to work all night. And you got a white coat, all the rubber gloves you could eat, and best of all, you got respect.
It's so basic, said Gilt. You make money as it runs down. You make money building it up again. You might even make a little money running it, and then you sell it to yourself when it collapses. The leases alone are worth a fortune. Give Alphonse his nuts, will you?
12.5%, 12.5%, said the cockatoo, sidling up and down the perch excitedly.
Certainly, sir, said Igor,
taking a bag out of his pocket and advancing cautiously. Alphonse had a beak like a pair of shears. Or maybe try veterinary work, like my other cousin Igor, Igor thought. That was a good traditional area, certainly. Pity about all that publicity when the hamster smashed its way out of its treadmill and ate that man's leg before flying away, but that was progress for you. The important thing was to get out before the mob arrived, and when your boss started telling thin air how good he was, that was the time.
Hope is the curse of humanity, Igor, said Gilt, putting his hands behind his head.
Could be, sir, said Igor, trying to avoid the horrible curved beak.
The tiger does not hope to catch its prey, nor does the gazelle hope to escape the claws. They run, Igor. Only the running matters. All they know is that they must run. And now I must run along to those nice people at the Times to tell everyone about our bright new future. Get the coach out, will you?
Certainly, sir. If you'll excuse me, I will go and fetch another finger.
I think I'll head back to the mountains, he thought as he went down to the cellar. At least a monster there has the decency to look like one. Flares around the ruins of the post office made the night brilliant. The golems didn't need them, but the surveyors did. Moist had got a good deal there. The gods had spoken, after all. It'd do a firm no harm at all to be associated with this phoenix of a building. In the bit that was still standing, shored up and tarpaulined, the post office, that is, the people who were the post office, worked through the night. In truth, there wasn't enough for everyone to do, but they turned up anyway to do it. It was that kind of night. You had to be there so that later you could say, "And I was there that very night." Moist knew he ought to get some sleep, but he had to be there too, alive and sparkling. It was amazing. They listened to him. They did things for him. They scuttled around as if he was a real leader and not some cheat and fraud. And there were the letters. Oh, the letters hurt. More and more were coming in, and they were addressed to him.